Welcome. You are listening to The Creative Spark. My name is G. Brian Benson, and I'm an award-winning author, project coach, actor, TEDx speaker, creative, and four-time Ironman triathlete. I love to creatively inspire and be inspired. And with each episode, I will be talking of authors, athletes, entrepreneurs, artists, and actors sharing their journey of success and learning how to find the joy and peace of mind that comes with stepping into one's own skin and going beyond anything they might previously have thought possible. I hope that their stories and strategies provide insight, tools, and empowerment to step up your creative game and help you live your best life. So without further ado, let's get going. Welcome to The Creative Spark. Low stakes is what happens when two musicians get fed up with polite art and sanitized songwriting, trading it for sharp, unfiltered folk rock that says the quiet part loud. Eric Cole and Anne Holbrook write with the lyricism of Paul Simon and John Prine, the hooks of the Byrds or Tom Petty, and a true punk ethos. Not the safety pin costume version, but the original DIY anti-establishment refusal to play nice when nice isn't honest. Their songs live in the friction between humor and heartbreak, absurdity in depth, grief and joy. It's the whole ridiculous mess of being human crammed into a melody. Low stakes isn't background music. It's for people who are tired of swallowing their truth, who've laughed at funerals, raged at the news, and still somehow believe in something. Their music feels like a conversation with the smartest, saltiest friend you've got. Someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth, even when it stings, even when it's funny, and especially when it counts. What a bio! Welcome, Eric and Anne.
Thank you. I feel accused now.
Well,
maybe an accusation almost.
This is going to be fun. So, how'd you get your name? What does low stakes mean to both of you?
Well, I'll tell you how it came about, and then of course we've pathologized it into a whole lot of other meanings. But basically, we were preparing for a show that I think it was a rainy day on a Tuesday, and it was like a lunch show. It was really not that terribly, wasn't a big show, let's put it that way, in the realm of shows. And we were struggling with something, and I think we decided, someone said, well, you know, the stakes could not be lower for this. And I'm like, yeah, we're the low stakes, and somehow that kind of stuck. And our logo, our kind of motto is the stakes could not be lower. So, right.
And of course, it's ironic because, in fact, the music means a great deal to us, and what we write about actually is very important in life. But that's how it started.
I love that. How long have you been performing together? And I guess, how long have you both just been performing in general?
Well, I've been singing my whole life. I mean, since I was a little kid. And I've sung in all kinds of bands, like an original Americana band about 10 years ago, and then various cover and country bands, rock and country. I sang in choirs when I was a kid. And I met Eric about 2 years ago. I actually, believe it or not, met him through Craigslist. Because
you said we met in church.
Oh no, we didn't.
What were you on Craigslist for?
I was looking for a new project. I was a little bit slow in my other bands, and I was talking to my husband, and he said, oh, listen to this ad. Here's a guy who writes original music who's looking for a female harmony singer with a low voice, something like no sopranos need apply, or no honey sweet sopranos, please. Somebody who naturally harmonizes. And he said, that sounds just like you. And I said, you're right. And then, so I contacted Eric, and he sent me some links to his music, and I absolutely loved it. And so we got together. Turned out we lived very close to each other, which of course you don't know when you're talking to somebody through Craigslist. We began to work on his songs, figuring out new ways to perform them, and it's grown from there.
Yeah, I think the rest is a mystery.
How about you, Eric?
I kind of came into it in a very different way because, you know, I hear an oft-repeated story that people, they heard a Beatles record and said, that's what I'm going to do forever, you know? That's what I want to do. And although I love the Beatles and a lot of the music, you know, Neil Young and a lot, I went through a big blues phase. I really wasn't on that path. I actually went to school for structural engineering and I actually became an engineer, which is an awful process where they install a pencil protector in your pocket and everything. And, you know, but on the weekends, you know, I'd sing with people and the guy around the pool used to sing and we'd harmonize. And long story short, somebody brought in a flyer looking for a harmony singer for a wedding band. And somehow I got that job. And then, you know, one thing led to another. I learned a lot about what people like listening to me. You know, when you're at a wedding, when you're playing weddings, you really get an interesting cross section of humanity. And getting from more sober to less sober as the night goes on. So you kind of get a real sense of what people like. And I think it was probably, I really wanted to play for a rock band and make 20 bucks among four people and play in a cool, disgusting bar. But I was in a tuxedo at weddings, you know, but it was actually a good, I think it was a good learning process because you did find out about a lot of different kinds of songs and you saw what people reacted to. So I found it helpful. Then I went, you know, my own, it was like this blues band, that blues band until I happened to write a song, you know, and that was, people seemed to like it. I said, well, I got lucky once and then I got lucky a couple more times and I thought, huh, maybe I can write songs. So, you know.
What's the songwriting process like for you?
You know, it's a very strange thing. I mean, the usual question is, you know, is the melody or the music, you know, and it all seems kind of hit at once a lot. Generally, my process is strum and mumble, you know, I just strum the guitar and I go, that sounds kind of cool. And I start blah, 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 along with what I'm singing and until once in a while, something comes out that, you know, it seems to, like that feels, those words feel right with that music. And then you play lawyer, like what, if I'm saying this, what did I say before and why am I saying this, you know? So it becomes a logic game at that point. However, you don't want it to sound like a legal brief. You know, you try to, you know, you draw from experience, whether it's your own or, you know, things you've heard about or read about. And, you know, the more information you can take in, the more information you have to put out, I think.
Sure. So you don't actually kind of come up with an idea maybe for a, like an angle or an emotion or, you know what I mean? Some kind of little
story. Yes, I do.
Okay. But well, I mean, do you do that before you start strumming or?
Sometimes, you know, once I get something like a series of words or just something that's an idea, I have more emails that say something like song idea and a song about blah 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 uses these words and I send it to myself and I stick it in the folder.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I have gotten, I mean, I need to spend some time there actually, but
yeah, you actually know, have a lot of songs in process.
Yeah, and it's I don't, you know, so I do have ideas sometimes, but it seems more often than not it just comes out of nowhere quickly. You know, some have taken me years and years to write, others have been out in 5 minutes, you know. So.
Well, I can totally relate. Well, you know, some of the poetry and stuff, you know, I'll hear a line or see something somewhere. It's like, and then all of a sudden it goes, just follows right below it, you know, and
right.
Some things are quick. Some things are years.
Some things are never.
Yeah. And never. Yeah. Wow. What, when you started, you know, when you reached out to each other and kind of experimented, you know, with your and singing and your playing and your songs, I mean, what was it initially like? Was it like, this is a perfect fit? Did it kind of take a little while to kind of jive?
I think it was a good fit right away.
I don't know. I had to drink a lot of beers.
That's not true.
Yeah.
No, it's, I've been singing lead and harmony for a long time, and I particularly love to sing harmony. You know, I'm somebody who sings in the car. My daughters used to say to me, Mom, don't sing, you know, when I was singing along to their music. And so I'm good at finding the right timbre to match somebody's voice, right, and the right mood. I mean, the trick to harmony singing is always don't oversing, you know, don't belt. The point is to complement and not even necessarily sing at the same level. So I also love the fact that Eric's melodies are not necessarily predictable in many cases. He uses a lot of very different kinds of chord progressions. You know, when I try to play his songs on guitar, which I'm learning to do all the time, I mean, the capo is all over the place. And so initially I would sing what I heard, and then Eric would say, well, actually, instead of singing that, why don't you sing the line straight through? Like, there was a great moment early on where he was explaining to me how he loves a harmony line that stays on the same note. And I said, oh, you mean like, please, please me? Last night I said these words to my girl. And that was exactly the example that was coming out of his mouth at the same time.
Right.
So that we understand each other and we're not at all afraid to disagree. Like,
Sounds weird.
And ultimately we come up with a compromise. But
what's great with working with Anne is that if I say, look, we just need a harmony line, she'll come up, the first one out of her mouth is going to be absolutely perfect and will work. You know, then we can decide. So we're not spending time on like the basics. Like, we got that out of day second one, you know. Yeah. So now it's a question of, you know, what has a better feel. And I tend to like under harmonies and harmonies with very little movement against what I'm doing. It creates a lot of interesting intervals. You get like a fifth here, a third there, a ninth over there, you know, and it makes things have a interesting feel sometimes.
Yeah, and what also sometimes happens, actually happens quite a bit, is in performance, I'll forget. Like, oh, we said I would sing harmony on this one line, but not on that one. Or in this verse,
I wasn't going to mention
that. Right. And then I'll make a mistake, and Eric will say later, oh, that's it. You should do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I changed my mind. Don't do it here. Do it there the way you did it by mistake there. So, you know, happy accidents happen a lot.
Sure. Well, I would imagine, too, it's just a lot of, well, it sounds like it's pretty, you know, it just flows, but like there's just some intuition and trial, a little bit of trial and error, but just kind of like, he might want this here. And so you just, I don't know, you get to know each other's rhythms, you know, I suppose.
A lot of it's trust. Like we trust each other's instincts.
Yeah.
And remember, the stakes could not be lower. So.
Well, that makes it a little easier to have that built-in defense mechanism, yeah. I suppose. But I mean, do you find yourself when you're creating the songs and your art, as you're creating it, like, do you try to make it so that you feel that it will be marketable, or do you just completely go with what you want to do?
Yeah, I think the latter is the case, because basically, number one, I feel like I'm a good judge of what's good.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I don't ever want to not do what I want. If it doesn't work out, you say, gosh, I wish I had just followed my own instinct, you know? So I'd rather fail at my own instinct and I know, okay, maybe that didn't work out, than to do what other people think I should do, which was against what I wanted to do,
yeah.
You know? And I made an album a long time ago, and, you know, I was down in Miami then, and I had a lot of studio musicians and musicians that had gone to UM Music School, which is a very good music school down there. And I didn't know anything about music. I mean, like I said, I kind of started this late, and, you know, I knew a couple cowboy chords and I had a feel for things, but I would listen to them. They said, you should know, you need to do this. And I go, okay, I guess they know, you know? And looking back at it now, you know, I'm like, ugh, why didn't I just say no, you know, because I respected their musicianship and I didn't want to. But, you know, as the writer or the person with the vision, you sort of have to need to get your way, at least for the idea that you tried it. I did it my way. You know, you did it. You tried it out. You know,
there's yeah. The song. Yeah. Hey, that's catchy. Well, this is just a good lesson. It's a good lesson for life. What? Pardon me. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Eric's songs are also, I mean, he's not trying to be marketable, but they tend to have very pleasing, accessible melodies and rhythms. I mean, again, that's part of that.
I listen to the radio my whole life.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So
yeah.
When when somebody says they're a singer-songwriter, you think, oh, okay, let's hear what your songs actually sound like. And as soon as I heard them, I said, okay, these are different, but they're also songs that people will want to listen to, which is one reason I wanted to work with them. So sorry to interrupt you
No,
there,
no,
but
no, 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 no. That's lovely. Thanks for adding that. I was just basically saying, the advice you gave, I think is just a great life lesson in any field. I mean,
yes,
so
absolutely.
did
Because
you know? Oh, yeah.
you just can't go back on. I mean, you will go back. I have gone back actually and redone some of those songs because I didn't listen to my own self first time around, you know.
No, I get it. Do we want to take a little break and have you play a song for us?
Sure,
If you
I
La
guess
La 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 Land?
La La Land. We'll play that one if you want.
I think I added one too many laws in there. No, it's a wonderful
Well, we
song.
have a lot of laws in there. I don't know how many laws. We should do a law count, you know?
Yeah, as the song goes on, you'll hear plenty.
Yeah.
It's like in Toastmasters when they do the counts. Yes.
All right.
What do you mean, Okay.
All
No,
right.
I have my trusty guitar right here, which you can't see, so I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how can I position this so you can see the guitar?
It
But
looks good.
All right. Thank
Let's
you.
see, I've got my mic. I think my mic is in the right place. I guess, let's try this. This is La La Land. Gonna hang up all my hang-ups, gonna put away my cares, 'cause I know you'll be waiting in that little room upstairs. You're my window on another world, my doorway to a dream. You're the only way I know to go, the only one that's taking me to La 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 Land. Made me one with a koala bear, deaf and dumb to understand. La 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 Land, where it feels so good to feel so good to feel alive again. Now I know what's gonna happen when I open up that door. Even though I've come around a thousand times before, I believe that I can find a place that needs to be explored. Let me dive into your ocean. I will wash up on the shore in La 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 Land. Made me one with a koala bear, deaf and dumb to understand. La 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 Land. Where it feels so good to feel so good to feel alive again. Please don't begrudge me my oblivion. It's the only thing I know that keeps me from giving up and giving in to a world that can be so endlessly conspiring to strip me of my senses, with telephones and traffic jams to weaken my defenses. But I can rise above them all so long as I am free to wander around this heaven I found here within this sanctuary. La 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 Land. Made me one with a koala bear, deaf and dumb to understand. La 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 Land. Where it feels so good to feel so good to feel alive again. Alive again. Alive again. Alive.
Wow, thank you so much. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I love that one.
What does success mean to both of you?
To me, I got that one
Me
easy. To
too.
me, it's to do this and be able to just do it all the time. I mean, not have to worry about outside influences and, money and all the things you have to do to do it. Whether you obviously playing in front of more people where you feel like it's sort of a, kind of social proof. I hate to say social proof because that means online crap, but that you are, out there and people like you and come out to see you. You're disseminating ideas out to the world and people listening to them. That feels very good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same thing. For me, I just want to be out singing for people all the time. That feeling that you get when everyone in the room is listening, that they're feeling what you're doing in the moment, and it just feels good to sing, right? I just love to do it. And playing as often as possible for people who enjoy it. I mean, we could play for 10, we could play for 10,000, and as long as the music was good and always getting better, I think that's part of it too, the sense that there's always a forward movement toward getting just better, tighter, richer all the time. And I don't mean by money, I mean just, the richness of the song.
Wow, thank you. I love that. Does low self-esteem ever affect either of yours creativity?
Oh,
Yeah,
no. I've
no.
never felt it in my
I
life.
didn't think so.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I mean, yes and no, because I mean, sometimes you wonder, like, what the hell? Why don't I feel like these are good songs? You think, why doesn't everybody like them? What's going on? Maybe I'm crazy, but then when I'm playing and when I'm singing and I'm up on the stage and playing these things, I feel like these are good and this is right and I'm doing the right thing. And so there's a certain built-in confidence that, like, I know this is good, but then you wonder, why is the world not, turning your way a little bit? And I think it's the answer, I think, is not really in the music. I think it's just the way the world is today, and that, everyone's got a short little span of attention, and you very there's a lot of, it's like when Keith Richards mentioned, he said, today everyone's got a computer and everyone thinks they're a typist, So, everyone's a musician now. Everybody can go down and put GarageBand on their iPhone and make a song. And now the rest of the world is, left with sorting through all of this music to find something that has any effect on them. There's a lot of stuff out there. So we're a small drop in a very large ocean.
But, again, always musicians have to. You said something like this to me, Eric, once, that we're all just one big web and one
I
family.
did.
And yeah, you did, because musicians always struggle with exactly this, right? That we think the music is good. You can always hear or see somebody better, right?
True.
And to recognize, to appreciate that instead of being jealous and wishing you had that kind of success. Or again, it comes back down to doing it and doing it as well as you can, and always sensing that you're moving forward and getting better, and just being, honestly, to use an old-fashioned word, grateful for the chance to do it. I'm grateful to be able to sing these songs and have people want to come and hear them. And so, that old saw, there are no small actors, no small parts, only small actors. There are no small venues, no insignificant venues or audiences. It's always about bringing as much as you can to the performance. We'll, for instance, we'll get upset kind of over a botched, a performance we thought wasn't as good as another one, or a song where we made a mistake. But that's always the way it works. I remember hearing John Denver say once, when somebody said to him, "Well, we're only rehearsing," he said, "It's all rehearsal, man." You never reach that perfection, but that's, part of the fun.
So true. Who are some of your influences, both of you?
I think Ann's a lot more country than I am. I'm much more from the rock and blues side, and Ann's much more from the countryside. But strangely enough, I have country-ish sounding tunes that sort of came like, Rolling Stones and Beatles country, it's not, they're kind of influenced by, but it's not, I don't use a Southern accent and say, I listened to Merle Haggard when I was a kid around the house and Ma was cooking, and which they usually say, but I didn't listen to that. So, but I think Ann's a real
Well,
country listener.
honestly, I grew up listening to a lot of what Eric did, rock and roll, of course, 60s, 70s, 80s radio. I heard Broadway, I heard classical, I heard Great American Songbook, which I really love also, great jazz singers. And I came to country late, in fact, but similar to the way Eric is talking about it, I would hear the Beatles do something, or I would hear, say, Emmylou Harris sing something that it turned out was really an old country song, because for a long time I said, as a lot of people do, like, oh, I don't like country. Well, it turns out I actually loved it, but I tend to love, really authentic old country,
A little more bare
anything that
bones.
has fake twang and canned lyrics, I just can't stand.
You mean you don't like it when the girls,
Wearing a little white tank top?
dancing on the pickup truck,
No. Don't sing to me about
down
grandma's
by the
sweet
water
tea.
hall?
No, but you mentioned Merle Haggard, like that's real. I mean, Hank
Absolutely.
Williams is real, George Jones is real, Patsy Cline. I could go on and on, right? But it's, rock and blues and country, of course, all come from the same roots. So, and Americana is a great word, even though it's overused, because it just mixes all of this together, So it's hard to say exactly what our music is. Like, is it pop? Is it rock? Is it Americana? Is it
I can say
singer-songwriter?
it's not rap. It's
No,
not
it's not.
jazz.
Right.
I mean, it's easier almost to define it in terms of what it isn't than what it is,
Right,
because
right.
the melting pot has in fact melted, and there's so much stuff everywhere now. It's real hard to, put a finger on it.
Sure. I love to hear, and my audience loves to hear stories of, like stepping out of your comfort zone and obstacles that you've overcome. Would you like to share some of those?
Well, I can go into that easily. I mean, a couple things that are right off the top is like, so my dad's usual question, when are you going to stop wasting your time with that effing guitar, So it wasn't like there was a friendly presence at home saying, no, work on it, It was always, you're wasting your time kind of thing. And then the fact that I started as an engineer in my career, it's a weird engineering and music really show up on the same page unless you're musical engineering, but I was doing structures for God's sakes. And it was the musicians kind of think, well, he's an engineer, how good can he be? And the musicians think, well, he's got a day job, how good can he be? So you're kind of in that weird space, neither nor, and it always seemed like I had to prove myself to both camps, Yes, I'm serious. I'm not gonna, I don't, the engineers all think that musicians go out and like take drugs and stuff and come to work stoned and they can't do their job, And the musicians think, well, if you're an engineer, you're a square, you can't possibly be writing a song or whatever, So.
I in my day job, I was an English professor, and
Way
so,
more cool.
well, it's cool in its way, but I honestly, I did not start singing with bands until fairly late in my life compared to other people, and so for me, it was sort of overcoming the sense of like, oh, you mean I could actually do this? I could actually go out and do this thing I love and not just in my car and in my living room. And then, believing that this was a worthwhile way to spend time, not just selfishly, but that this was a good thing to do in life. And again, I think also just exactly what you talked about, Brian, that there are so many people out there. So many people trying to be musicians. Maybe we talked about it, I can't remember, but that, not getting discouraged by the sense that we're all clamoring for attention. Coming back to that old saw, it's all about the music, man, right?
Well, also, I think that for any of your listeners or anybody out there, I mean, write what you know because that's important. You see the world in your own through your own window, you know what I mean? And I think if everyone just kind of really writes what they know and is true to that, it's a viewpoint that, we're all going to share in common, but it's also a little different, I think what John Lennon said, music's all the same, only different, And I think it's critical that everyone does bring their special viewpoint to it,
For sure. Well, you just touched on a couple of things I was just going to ask you, but like, what advice would you give to an up and coming singer-songwriter? In addition to just being truthful.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Having done so much wrong in my life, I'm not sure I'm the right person to listen to. I mean, I would say try to take in as much information as you can from things that you wouldn't necessarily like. An example is John Lennon's that song "Happiness Is a Warm Gun." That was on a cover of a rifle magazine, which he just saw laying around. Read everything, even if it's not your thing, because you never know. There's always that strange thing that may have an effect on you, and just I don't know. I think we need more time just to think. I think of most of my stuff walking alone or driving in a car alone, because I have time to think, which is unusual in this world.
We're starting to wind down. Would you want to play another song?
Sure. Any
Yeah.
requests?
Well, you play you choose.
Okay. Why don't we play 5 Days?
Good idea.
It's a little, you got reasonable energy, and that's one of the songs that's actually out right now.
Yeah.
I was expecting this.
But we love to play, so.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we love to listen.
Oh, thank you.
Interesting thing about this song is this is probably one of the first songs I ever wrote. And it came about as a consequence of it was a Monday, and my girlfriend at the time was coming back. She's gone like for 2 months in another country. Coming back, not Saturday, but the next Saturday. So I was counting the days, and I went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, over to Saturday, and I just thought, screw it. I'll go straight down to Saturdays. So 5 days over, one day down, it's only 6 days, And it was such a, like, oh, there's a song idea. And I literally picked up my guitar and wrote it about as fast as I can sing it here. I mean, it was just
Wow.
one of those, oh, this is so neat. Out of nowhere comes this song. And that's something I really love about this, because sometimes that happens. 5 days or two. So long for her to get back home, and I'm getting tired of talking to this goddamn telephone. Yes, I've done my time, and I guess I'm feeling fine. Cause it won't be long till she's around. 5 days of one day down. I've done everything I can to kill these weekdays, and I've lost my mind 1,000 times, at least 100 ways. But it's close at hand, and I think I understand that it won't. She's around 5 days old, one day down. So what if I delude myself in a simple mistakes? I still have to wait, no matter how much time it takes. I'm just trying to give myself a little bit of fun. Anyway, I don't believe I'm hurting anyone. Within a simple mistakes, I still have to wait, no matter how much time it takes. I'm just trying to give myself a little bit of fun. Anyway, I don't believe I'm hurting anyone. If I could, I'd go to sleep to pass the time away, and I've been in so long as I could wake up one day. So I close my eyes, but I just can't realize that it won't be long till she's around. 5 days or one day down. 5 days or one day, yeah. 5 days or one day down.
That was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
The sound coming through reasonably over there?
It's come through all right. Yeah,
Okay.
it's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great. I love, yeah, that's, it's interesting. I had mentioned the birds in the bio. For some reason, I kind of just started thinking birds while you were singing that song. You know what I mean? Kind of, I don't know if it's some of the
It
chords or
is
some of
something
the.
I've heard before. We've heard the birds thing, and we're certainly not trying to be like
Oh
anybody.
yeah, no, I don't mean that you are. It's just like
Yeah, I
it's
know.
incredibly good in quality. I mean, it's yeah, it's yeah.
We like you.
Well, I like
That
you.
jangly guitar sound that the
Yeah, right,
birds
right.
created is everywhere, of course.
That's amazing. What's coming up for you for low stakes?
Well, we are actually making another record, and it's probably going to be more full bandish, which means we're going to have to find a full bandish band at some point. Because the thing, this acoustic duo thing, I mean, Anne's getting ready, about ready to start playing, adding some guitar to this, which would really help. But it's, two people, guitar and a voice, it's so much easier to do than a full band where you gotta, a lot of different parts, a lot of egos. Do you know what the word factorial means, by any chance?
Factorial. I've heard it. Please explain how it should be
Yeah,
used.
well, you'll see, it's generally, it's a term that's used in statistics. And like the number of ways you can arrange three books on a shelf is three factorial, which is three times two times one. It's designated as three exclamation point. So, three times two, six, you could arrange three books six different ways, evidently. But I always say the number of problems you have in a band is based on the number of members factorial. So Earth, Wind, and Fire must have had a hell of a time,
What's so interesting because their music is just also high vibe and stuff, so maybe they were able to, I don't know, coexist, harmoniously compared.
Yeah, no, but I mean, when you, I also think it's a little different time when, a lot of times in these older bands, just go back to our old standby, the Beatles and the Stones, they knew each other growing up. They went to school together, And, it was kind of, it's a look, in these days, we don't know it. I mean, we know people, but it's not the same as when your kid's coming up, working it out, learning how to play your instrument. It's like you're finding people that have a whole life of successes, traumas, or whatever, and you're kind of trying to deal with that. And it takes it, it's I think it's a little more difficult out of the barrel these days with people that have a long running head start on life.
But a lot of these songs really do just need more instrumentation, more rhythm, etc. And we're layering a lot of vocals, for instance, so thinking hard about different harmonics, doubling vocals quietly in the background. There's just a lot of creativity going on in the studio. And so, we'll hope that the quality of the music will help us attract the musicians to be in this band. Yeah,
I'm
so.
also excited about the idea of doing things more live than less live. We did something recently. We were actually doing some video of our songs in the studio there with nice light and a real camera guy. And we just said, "Well, you're here now, let's play a few songs." We played this one song, Be All Right. And we just did it, and it sounded great, and I thought, we didn't
I
try
made up a
at
new harmony on the
right.
fly.
There you go. Another perfect, and it we're gonna do that from now on. And we just did it. And I kind of want to start, it's hard to do something over and over again and have it feel alive and fresh, but I really wanna try to steer a little bit away from this over-perfectionized life that we're living, where everything has to be auto-tuned and quantized to the nth degree. And I just want to be a little more real with this stuff, and I'm excited about exploring that kind of recording more.
Well, you both are very talented, and I'm sure that you'll find the groove and figure out a way that feels right, as you expand.
I hope so.
It's all about finding the groove.
And the right people.
We
But
clap on two and four, damn
yeah. That's funny. Well, I really appreciate you. I'm going to put all your links in the show notes,
You bet.
and yeah, I appreciate you being here with me and sharing your music.
Well, thank you for having
Thank you
us.
so
We had a
much,
great
G.
time.
Brian.
You're welcome.
I like G. Just
Well,
I'm not
I've
too
always
old.
been called by my middle name. Yeah, but I have some friends that jokingly call me G because it makes them laugh, so that's cool too. But
Cool.
like, what up, G?
Wonderful.
Yeah,
Right.
thank you. All right, you take
Thanks
care.
so much, guys. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you for listening to The Creative Spark. To learn more about host G. Brian Benson and all that is going on in his Creative Spark world, as well as this week's amazing guest, please visit the show notes. We love building community, making new friends, and spreading the goodness. So don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Until next time, as Brian always says, be well, be creative, and always be yourself.